In this session, I'll be showing the power that empathy has in three functions: healing, mediation, and reconciliation. In the previous session, we looked at the dynamics of empathy. We saw how it requires our full presence to another person, and full presence on what's alive in them, what they're feeling and needing. And now in this session, I will show just how powerful that process can be in healing past wounds, in mediating conflicts between people, and reconciling groups that are at war with each other to see how they can live in peace and harmony. The power of empathy. First, let's look at how empathy supports healing. The word healing has some aspects that I get concerned about, because when it's applied to people's emotional pain, we use this term mental illness, and then we think of trying to heal the illness. I have some deep concerns about the concept of mental illness. My concerns about this concept began when I received some precious gifts from a professor I had at the university just before I was ready to graduate with my doctor's degree in clinical psychology. This professor showed me the scientific limitations of the concept of mental illness and the political dangers of this concept. He helped me to see that there was almost no reliability about how professionals use these terms, because there was no real scientific basis for all of the different problems that were defined in the basic manual used by psychiatrists and psychologists to make diagnoses. So what one professional might call a bipolar disease, another might call something else, and research shows that there's very little reliability of a scientific nature about how all of these terms in the manual are used. But what's more important to me is the political dangers he pointed out to this. He pointed out to me that we live under political and economic structures that require a certain education that contributes to great pain on the part of large numbers of people. And he helped me to see how the concept of mental illness takes the focus away from what might be causing the problems, the structures and the education they require. And by making it look like it's something that's wrong within individuals, we take away from what's really creating the problem. And we do it in a way that isn't really helpful in helping the people, because we talk as though they have an illness when it isn't an illness they have. It's an educational problem that they have. They've been educated in a way that might make them depressed, or educated in a way that might make them insensitive to other people's needs and preoccupied only getting their own needs met regardless of how it affects other people. I was also helped to get this important concept clarified by the book The Myth of Mental Illness by the psychiatrist Thomas Sass. In that book, he supported what my professor had helped me to see, the scientific limitations of the concept of mental illness and the political dangers. And then I value another book that helps show the other side that I'll be talking about more in this session. It's a book called Legacy of the Heart and subtitled Spiritual Advantages of a Painful Childhood, written by Wayne Muller. In this book, he looks at the human suffering that many people go through that is often referred to as a mental illness, not as an illness, but as an inevitable consequence of things that may have happened to this person in their life that caused great pain that they didn't know how to handle. And he shows that if we help these people to transcend that pain, to learn how to turn it into something constructive, the very pain can be something that the person benefits by. And this is the kind of way that I like to look at the pain that many people have brought to me over the years. If we can look at this pain in a certain way, we can come out of it stronger people than we would have been if we didn't have this experience. So I'd like to give you an example of what I mean by looking at nonviolent communication as it relates to the healing process. In the healing work that I do using nonviolent communication, empathy plays a key role. And there's three aspects of the empathy that really contribute to healing. One of these aspects is when people can get empathy for the present pain they are experiencing as a result of something that has happened to them in their life. That empathy is the most important thing that contributes to healing. For example, Carl Rogers did some research on what contributes to healing. And in this research, he had patients in a mental hospital assigned to work with psychotherapists from different persuasions. And these therapists tape recorded their sessions, and various measures were made of what went on between the patients and the therapists. Doctors of the patients who were put into this research evaluated what healing took place to the patients as a result of the work that they did with the various therapists. Rogers' research showed that there was no difference between the various professionals in terms of which kind of psychotherapy was more effective than the other. All had about the same result in terms of healing. Rogers took a group of lay people who had no psychotherapeutic experience and made them therapists in this research. And they were just as effective as any of the professionals. And I'm aware of a lot of other research that's been done since then that shows that you can't tell whether healing is going to take place by the kind of training that the person they're with has been through. It has much more to do with empathy. It was those therapists who demonstrated empathy the most in the sessions. The people that they worked with showed the most healing. So, just to receive empathy for what is alive in us, the pain that's alive in us that may have been stimulated years ago, but that pain is still with us right now, when we get an empathic connection with that pain, that's a very powerful contribution to healing. And we all have this ability to learn how to listen empathically to one another and to contribute to one another transforming this pain. A second part of empathic contribution to healing is when somebody who has been wounded and in pain as a result of things that have happened to them, if they can empathize with what was alive in the people who stimulated their pain, healing takes place with that. So, in other words, when we get healing for our pain that exists as a result of what was stimulated by others, that contributes to healing. And when we can empathically connect with what was going on in the person who stimulated our pain, that contributes to healing.